Hey, welcome to your Parenting Partner Podcast. Who's ready to listen and learn? Who's ready to laugh and learn? Who's ready? Let's do this. All right? Yeah. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you're doing well and your new year is pleasantly boring because we've had very exciting times and we need some boring. But today I have Marcella DeRosa. She is a baby-led sleep specialist. Her business is Born With Love. She's a holistic baby sleep support. And I just thought this stuff was really cool. I really loved her approach. I actually know someone who used her and loves her. And I trust this human very much when she says she loves someone. So we're going to learn a little bit about what this means and what this is and why you and your baby need this. So, hey, what's going on?
Hey, Brandy, thank you so much for having me. This means like so much to me because I watch you, like I follow you on Instagram and I love all your posts and they're so relatable. So I'm really excited to talk to you.
That means a lot. So why don't you start by sort of telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay. So, hey guys, I'm Marcella. I started my journey, in terms of parent support, new parent support about 10 years ago as a birth doula. And then I started getting into a few years later, postpartum doula work. And I realized fairly quickly that the majority of families that I knew and worked for were always having sleep challenges. And the major reason, the reason for this from my perspective was that the expectations for new parents, like going into having an infant, were very much just not what the reality is. So I felt like that was really unfortunate. And I tried to help as best I can with each client that I had. But, you know, a lot of clients were resorting to sleep training because they felt like they had no other option. And I knew that it wasn't necessary, that there was a place for setting boundaries and loving limits, and also understanding an infant sleep that does not involve training your baby to sleep, which, side note, is not actually doable. Mm-hmm. We're human beings. We can't be trained to sleep. Sleep is not within our conscious control. So, you know, just as of a few years, it's only been a few years since I've dove into the sleep world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've still been doing postpartum doula work for a while now. And, I took a sleep course. It took me a while to find a course that, aligned with my values, as a support person and as an educator in that field. I just wasn't going to teach anyone to do something that was against their instincts. And so I finally found Isla Grace, which is a wonderful resource as well, via Instagram. You might follow her, Brandy, I don't know. But she certifies, her name's Lauren, she certifies sleep specialists. So I'm technically a baby-led sleep and well-being specialist because I work with the whole family and their unique child. So it's very focused on there. It's not blanket ideas or one size fits all, like most of our lives are, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so when I work with people, I really, really dig deep into their routines, the elements of their day, because sleep is, nighttime sleep is directly related to daytime sleep for most of us, actually, but definitely for infants. And so my approach is from an attachment parenting perspective. So I help parents. That was very long-winded, but at the end of the day.
No, I think it's great. I really quick, I agree. I think everything needs to be tailored. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. So yeah, no, keep going. I'm like,
and so, yeah. So like, long story short, I help parents who want to stay connected and their top priority being that connection and being understanding their baby's sleep and not just a quick fix, because there really is no such thing as a quick fix in parenting. And anything that states that it is lying or going against what is normal and what is biologically normal, such as sleep training, to be quite honest. And that's mm-hmm. that's my opinion, of course. So I will say that. And so, yeah, that's how I work with people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you. And that's actually one of the things I say to my clients where I'm like, yeah, so that whole new kid in 3 days, that's not going to happen, because that's not mm-hmm. natural. That's not the way that people flow and go. So if someone says it's magic, it's not really mm-hmm. going to work, or it's going to be, so for the folks out there who might not know what sleep training is, as opposed to like what you do, can you kind of tell them the difference? And by the way, I'm with you, not a huge fan of the sleep training, cry it out stuff. So I think we are on sort of the same pagey with that. But I think people don't always know what sleep training is. I also really quickly do agree too. I think it's really important. One of the important things that you said is parents don't realize what this is all going to look like. They think it's going to be easier because everyone's like, oh, it's easy. Just sleep train your kid. They'll go to sleep. And then they're like, great, that should be easy. So mm-hmm. what is sleep training?
So sleep training, I would say, and there's definitely many different methods. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak to every one of them, but to me and why I'm not a sleep trainer is because there is no method per se that I give people and say, do this and your baby's going to sleep 12 hours overnight. Okay. Right. Where there is some degree of non-responsiveness. Now there are sleep training methods that absolutely do allow, unfortunately we have, I'm saying allow,
yeah.
Timed responsiveness. So you would go in every so many minutes and let your baby know everything's okay. And then you'd leave the room. So there are gentle sleep training methods. You know, I have lots of, you know, haters out there that contact me and let me know all of these things pretty regularly, which is totally fine, you know, to each their own, but mm-hmm. it's really important to me when then people reach out to me and say, you know, are your mom shaming and all of these things. That's not the case at all. I want you to become informed so you understand what you're getting yourself into, because when it comes down to it, we can't train anyone to go to sleep. So what we're really doing is creating a pattern of non-responsive parenting that then lets our child know they can't signal for us because we're not going to come because of the pattern that's set forth. Mm-hmm. So then they just stop signaling. It's not that they're sleeping. They still rouse just like we all do overnight, you know? They just stop signaling for support. And it's unfortunate because many babies do need support overnight, well into toddlerhood, to be honest. So so that's sleep training. And then the difference is when I help people as a sleep specialist, there's a lot of breaking down the elements of that go into sleep, such as sleep pressure and the need for activity throughout the day, connection time, especially a lot of parents contact me that are returning to work and they notice that now their baby's up more overnight. And, you know, it makes total sense because that connection piece is missing throughout the day. So they're looking for it at night. So there's lots of little elements that go into that, or when baby's going through a lot of development and they start protesting feeding sessions because there's so much newness of the world around. So they're not feeding as much because there's so much going on that they want to figure out. So then they start feeding more overnight and parents are like, oh my goodness, you're regressing. While it seems like a regression, it is very much a progression. And we just don't understand that because there's no education really out there. Like people take a birth class, you know, and they take a breastfeeding class, but they really don't know what to expect in terms of what normal infant sleep looks like. So without those expectations, they're told a few different things. Most people are told, you know, your baby's going to sleep and eat, which that's really unrealistic, because then they assume that your baby's just going to put them down, they're going to fall asleep, which is usually not the case. There's always exceptions, of course, but it's not the rule at all. Or we're told we'll never sleep again, which again is completely the opposite of the other statement, but we get told both of those things all the time as new parents. So it's really important to understand the sleep science and how we can optimize our baby sleep. And so that's what I help people do, to really look at their routine, look at the feeding, look at the sleeping in the day and the night, and figure out what needs to be shifted to optimize the sleep. And then as baby gets older, when I don't like to help people make parent-led changes so much until at least 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And when I say parent-led changes, I mean that we're not following baby's cues entirely. Sometimes parents want to make changes such as getting a long stretch at night. So if baby starts solids and you can, you know, they know that maybe their baby's doing some non-nutritive feeding overnight, and they see this, because that's, I really focus a lot on parents' instincts. So I always say, you know your child best. Is there a lot of non-nutritive feeding going on? Because if there is, we can shoot for a long stretch of sleep at the beginning of the night. Let's try that. And that would be layering in lots of other ways to support your baby before removing the nursing for a time overnight. But I don't like to do that before 6 months old, at least. Ideally around 8 months, to be quite honest. But at that point, absolutely, that's when I would encourage parents, if they want to make changes, absolutely. There's changes to be made in a gentle way that's responsive. And the big piece is responsiveness. So we don't always have to respond to our children the way they want us to. The connection piece is where we're responding to them and helping them work through those emotions that come from the disappointment of maybe not having a nursing session when they want it. You know what I mean? And that's like where the disconnect is. I always ask parents, how do you feel about tears? So right from the start, when they want to make changes, because there's going to be tears, futility is a healthy part of life, but the difference between tears, and being left alone in a crib and walking out of the room, that's unsupported. But when, from an attachment parenting perspective, I help people to respond to their babies the way they feel good about responding to them, developing a different kind of pattern if the old pattern wasn't working, but still being responsive, still helping them work through those emotions. So that may mean if your baby's getting heavy and rocking is just becoming too much, you know, because maybe they're 25 pounds now. Now let's add in more sleep associations. So instead of rocking your baby every time they wake, you can then pat them to sleep. Or even, like, I know, so to some people it seems unrealistic, but remember, everything's a season. So it may be a few months you do something and then it changes, you know. I've had parents put a floor bed next to their baby's crib and sleep next to the crib with their hand in the crib until they fall asleep, because they didn't want to rock them to sleep, and that was working, you know. So if they feel good about it, if everybody feels good about it, it's working. And it's not forever. Nothing that you do is forever. Like, there's such a huge emphasis on bad habits and creating a crutch and all of these things that are completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
All they are is patterns that you get into that are not bad habits if they're working. You can always change them when seasons change, just like your baby's going to grow and develop. And then, you know, you can develop new patterns of responsiveness that your baby will become accustomed to expecting also. So that's really the way I work with people. Like, I just jumped all over the place, but yeah.
No, I'm totally down with you. And, you know, I really like how you are, like, how you're like, are you comfortable with crying? That's funny. I kind of went, because I sort of say something like that, but I like your sentence better. I'm like, y'all, it's going to get rough before it gets easy. And obviously, like, I work with families that do not have babies because I don't know a lot about babies. But I say the same thing too, because there is a difference between a cry, even like a bigger kid, like crying because they're like traumatized or truly in distress, and then crying because they're annoyed that you want to pee by yourself. And it's like, well, your kid is four, you're allowed to pee by yourself. You know, you can do mm-hmm. that. Or, you know, you can, you know, actually eat that half a sandwich by yourself or whatever. And it's like, they are going to be mad, but you do have to understand the different cries. And like, I also totally agree with you with the whole, like, they do stop, babies will stop calling for you because you're not coming. And while I absolutely do not do baby sleep stuff, when I sort of casually talk to people about it, I'm like, but could you imagine if you like broke your leg and couldn't get out of bed, and you're calling for the person who's supposed to be helping you, and they're just like not even responding? Like, you would be kind of like, even a grown-up would be a little scared, like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I gotta pee, or I'm starving and I can't do this alone, and why is this person leaving me? So if a grown-up's gonna get anxious, you know, what's a baby gonna get? And it's a baby. Mm-hmm. You can't spoil a baby. I mean, I don't like the word spoil anyway. I don't think we can spoil anyone, but like, it's a baby. It's not manipulating you. It's not like, mwahaha, I'm gonna cry three times at this time to make sure mom and dad come in, or mom and mom, or dad and dad, or mom, or whoever you are. Mm-hmm. So I think this is really, really interesting. And I think it also sounds completely realistic too, and completely doable. Like, you just have to find kind of what fits while you're supporting the baby. And I do love like the whole, like, look, if the kid's getting too big, because for some of us that would be really hard, you can always pat their back or touch them. Or it's all about connecting in ways that kind of works for everyone too. Cause there are people who are like, I can't hold a 25-pound baby. Like, I just can't, mm-hmm. like, I have back problems or whatever. So yeah, no, I think this, I think it all sounds very, very doable. So like, if you were, and I don't want you to give obviously away the farm, but what are some things, like, if you were like, I really need parents to understand these few things, like, this is what you really got to know, or these are things that are so important to me when I, you know, even just pass parents in the market, like, what would you want parents to know that you feel like you guys just don't get it?
So the one big thing, especially when we're talking about infants, is that to understand that after you have a baby and, you know, that golden hour where, you know, everybody's heard of the golden hour where you're supposed to keep your baby skin to skin for bonding, that doesn't end after that first hour. Your baby will constantly, and not every baby, okay, mm-hmm. there are some easygoing babies out there, but there are vastly more babies that need more support. Your baby looks at you as their safe place, their security blanket. So when they feel, when you put them down and they cry, it's not because, hey, you have, I like to reframe it. Like, parents say, my baby always wants to be held. That's how we look at it, because of course you're going and picking up your baby because they're crying and it's like, oh my goodness, again, why can't I just put you down? It's because they don't feel safe yet to be put down. And the way in which to help your baby to feel safe is to not push for independence, because, and when I say push for independence, I mean, you know, there is some, this huge emphasis in our culture for independence early on and self-soothing and all of these things that infants are not capable of mm-hmm. and can't be taught. True independence is fostered from a secure, dependent relationship with a caregiver. That could be anyone, that could be multiple people, that could be mom, dad, grandma, auntie, you know, neighbor, honestly, mm-hmm. it could be everyone. And that's wonderful. The more, the better, to be honest. But that independence is really, has to be grown. It can't be something that's taught. It's not taught. And so when we are in close proximity with our babies at all times, and I don't necessarily mean holding your baby at all times, but infants really need close proximity, sensory proximity to a caregiver pretty much at all times. And people don't realize that. They don't realize that my baby really is going to need me all the time. It is a complete life change to have an infant. Your infant is not intended to fit into your life. They aren't built for our culture, for our lifestyles. And so it does require, reframing like our thought process, because we're taught all of these things that our babies are supposed to do, or that we're supposed to teach our babies to do. And it's completely unrealistic. So the fact that your baby needs you all the time is extremely normal. That's definitely one thing. So setting those expectations, hopefully before you have a newborn, is really important. So then, you know, you can avoid a lot of the stress and anxiety that comes from the fourth trimester of like that lifestyle change that you're just like, is this normal? My neighbor's baby and my sister's baby, and they do all of these things. You know, cause it's unfortunate that we get all of those stories too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, first of all, I was almost going to be like, yes, preach, woman. This whole idea of like the baby has to fit into your life. It's like, but it's a baby. It's mm-hmm. It can't do anything for itself. Like, and that's not the time for independence. And no one loves more like independence more than me. But like, I have bigger ones, but they're also really good at being independent because they also know that at my school, like, we love them and we believe in them. And that's where it sort of starts from.
Yes.
Our belief in them. And it's baby steps to the independence too. Just like, try to pull your zipper down a little bit. If it gets stuck, I'm here for you, buddy. And then when it gets stuck later on, it's like, what do you do after that? But they're bigger. And even with them, we have to like instill that trust and all of that too, mm-hmm. and that love for them to feel comfortable enough to try and fail. But a baby is not meant to be independent. Like it's not meant to fit into your world. It's not meant to, you know, cook dinner and put itself to sleep. Like it's a baby. And I think mm-hmm. that we really need to be very clear in our very independent society that like, no, this isn't what this is about. Like your baby, like you said, your baby's going to need you and you need to be ready for that. And you can build a village, like build yes. a village, build a team. I mean, when my sister had it good. I mean, her kids are big now. She's here with us in Lower Moreland, but her kids are huge. But when she was a baby, like she lived blocks away from me. My mom was right there. We were there constantly because we were obsessed, especially with the first baby when she was really close. And so here to Philly, where I live, and we were there constantly. So she had a lot of support. And even then it was difficult. But, you know, it doesn't have to fall just on the one person. So I like how you're like, but also like it can be an auntie. It can be grandma. It can be a neighbor. It can be all these people. But independent and infant don't necessarily like that might not be the time to be starting your independent journey.
No, but really, when you think about it, though, when people ask me like, how do I encourage more independent sleep? How do I encourage? And there, the way in which to do that really is to have your instill trust. Your child needs to trust you. So mm-hmm. when somebody contacts me specifically, when they have a toddler and they're like, I'm laying with my 2.5-year-old every night. And I just like, I don't know what to do. I want to have like some time at the end of the night. It's taking forever. You know, mm-hmm. all of those complaints. I first say, what does your days look like? Do you guys get time together throughout the day? Do you take some time out of your day to have one-on-one time undistracted? No TV, no phone, no iPad, none of that. So you can have that connection time. Do you do that at bedtime, or does your bedtime feel rushed? You know, because mm-hmm. children sense that. They really sense that, like, they want to feel sameness, especially toddlers.
Yeah.
They want to feel that sameness, that loyalty. They want to feel that, you know, you want to be with me. You like being with me. We have things in common. So when we're talking about toddlers specifically, and people want their toddler to go to sleep and sleep in their bed independently. I always say like, this is baby steps. So the first night, have a conversation about it, just settle on, this is going to be an hour. Okay. This is going to like, just settle on it and just be okay with that. Read books, sing songs, and maybe we're going to start with you, yes, laying with your child to go to sleep. And once that's established, that you have that calm, assertive energy, that and they go to sleep that way, then have a conversation about you sitting next to the bed. So this is all very gradual. And then after that's established, that they're okay with you just sitting next to the bed and maybe with a hand on them, take breaks. Let them know. Just like I tell my, honestly, I tell my six-year-old that because I do lay with him for a little bit at night, I'll say, I'm going to go get my PJs on. Mom has to brush your teeth. I'll come back and check on you and give you another kiss. And I do. So you want to definitely have that trusting relationship where you can say, Mom's going to go and I'm going to get changed, or I'm going to go get a drink of water or go to the bathroom and I'll be back. And you could do that multiple times, but just in, to, so they can trust you. They know when you come back, she's there for me when I need her. You know what I mean? That's, that's what that's showing. And so it's very baby steps and to that, you know, and every child's different. You might have a kid that's much more easygoing with it, that takes a lot longer. And then ones that really just kind of are fine with it. And, you know, there's lots of different approaches to like working your toddler to your toddler's bedtime to get more independent time to yourself. But it, there is no quick fix in that department. It just, it comes from really a lot of connection time and them to feel safe enough and trust you enough. Really is what it comes down to. So more so to do with the relationship than what you're focusing on and the bedtime, you know?
That's so cool. Yeah. You know, and I don't think that I would have thought to say it like that at all, but it is, it's like focusing on the relationship, which, you know, is something I think about with, you know, bigger kids too, but I would not have put that together with sleep. So I think that, you know, hey, everyone, this is a really important topic. Listen, the sleep part coming from the relationship part, because that is where trust comes from. You know, you have to build trust for someone to feel like you have a relationship with them. So, no, this is really, this is so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it starts from the beginning and it goes throughout. I mean, I can think back to even when I was a kid, there are some teachers that I that stick out in my head that I loved dearly because of that, because of I felt how much they care, you know. And then there's others, of course, there's always like where they're like, this is their job, and they're like, they're kind of jaded, or you know what I mean? I got them when they were jaded. And I see that with my children too. So I have, you know, we're not perfect, we're parents, you know what I mean?
Course.
I get it. So we have days, and it's okay to just have a day and need space and all of that. And that's where the support comes in. And, you know, we do lack a village, you know, in our culture now, unfortunately.
I know.
For many reasons. I mean, even prior to COVID, and hate bringing COVID into it, but it's just kind of our life now. But it is so important to have support, have your partner's support, to where you guys are working together. Because when I get inquiries when there's moms specifically that are kind of like, they feel like they're in this alone and they have a partner that's present. It's very frustrating because the first thing I say to them, if we're on a call together, is okay, for your goals, it's going to be really hard for mom to wean if dad's not involved. With the nighttime, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be that much easier if there's a parent that doesn't breastfeed in order to, because then the baby knows, like, obviously he's not going to give me a boob because he doesn't have any and I'm used to that. So it's much easier to incorporate the other parent that's not nursing baby to sleep when we're trying to wean overnight feeds. So it really requires a village. Like, that's just one instance, but there's so many things. I get, you know, parents that are anxious about leaving the house because they're afraid that someone else won't be able to get their baby to sleep. And it causes so much stress because it's not built into our lives to have support. And it's so unfortunate.
It truly is. I'm all about the village and the team. And no, I think that, and also we're so taught to be independent and you should be doing it on your own and don't tell anybody how hard it is, because you know, your neighbor had it so easy, but like, I tell everybody, like, no, they didn't. They're just not telling you. Mm-hmm. I talk to everyone. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Everybody's working on something at some point in time.
Absolutely.
No one has it easy every day. No, this is all really awesome. Is there anything that we missed?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I know there's like, because every time I ask someone that in our genre, they're like, you know, we could keep talking for like 40 hours. And I'm like, I know. Like, you know.
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one because I feel like I'll always think of things, but then
I know,
like I always miss something too. So, I don't know.
I think you covered so many things really well. I mean, I think that the connection part was so good. And I think that that's really important. I think it's really important that people understand that babies are not supposed to be independent. They're not supposed to work around you. They're babies. Your life is going to change. If you don't know this, you need to learn that and you need to think about it before you have one, because they are going to change your life and forever. But like, it's going to be tough in the beginning. They can't just get up and make a sandwich.
Yeah. And infants are something that people don't realize is infants are not wired to sleep through the night, quote unquote, because you know what I mean? There's that huge emphasis on sleeping through the night. And people think of that as this 12 hours, but they have different sleep needs. Different babies have different sleep totals. So your child is unique. There is not one size fits all. They are meant to rouse between sleep cycles as infants for safety reasons, to protect them from SIDS, to make sure that they're properly nourished. That this is all part of their instinct is to, that's why they don't adapt to a more adult-like sleep cycle until they're 4 months. Because before that, they are supposed to rouse in between sleep cycles pretty routinely for nourishment specifically, and to protect them against SIDS. So that's a really important piece that you know, people don't realize when they have like a 1 month old and they're like, okay, when are you going to start sleeping through the night? And I'm like, well, if you're thinking about that now, you have a long way to go, unfortunately, because, you know, it's some 6 month olds will give you a long stretch. But you know, it's still within reason for a 6 month old to wake every 2 to 3 hours. So, you know, they're also different and kind of like, I just kind of put that piece in there because that is something that parents always think. I get so many messages about that one, you know, like, when can I expect them to sleep through the night or sleep 8 hours or something, some kind of, you know, number that they've read somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
I do recommend, if you are having a baby or if you have a newborn, please read Safe Infant Sleep. It is an amazing read. If nothing else, that is good preparation just for expecting what to expect in terms of your life with an infant.
Okay, cool. I'll actually put that in the little blurb too. And if people want to find you, where are all the places they can find you?
So you can find me on my website at bornwithlovesleep.com. I'm also very present on Instagram at bornwithlove.sleep. I'm also on Facebook, but not nearly as much at bornwithlovesleep. And I think that's
cool.
You can email me marcella.bornwithlove@gmail.com. But that's about it.
Yeah. And honestly, her Instagram is really adorable. That's really why I started to follow. I'm like, she's so adorable. And hit her up. She is super amazing. And I will tell you, seriously, my friend loves her. And please take all of this to heart. And just, babies are not supposed to be independent. Take care of your babies. They need you.
Yes, absolutely.
They're adorable. Eat them. I love eating babies, but it's, again, COVID times, and you can't eat other people's babies in COVID times. So, but thank you so much. I'm so glad we got to do this because I'm really actually pretty like passionate about this, but don't have like, this is not my wheelhouse, but I am with you. It takes time. please don't leave your infants crying in their crib. Just don't. That's, I'm going to be blunt because I can be, because it's my show. And that's what I'm going to say. Ha, I love that. At me. I don't care.
Thank you so much, Brandy.
You too. And check out her Instagram. And everybody, happy new year and be safe out there. And yes, enjoy. Later.
Thank you so much for being here today. You know, let us know how you feel about this. Leave a little review or, you know, some stars or comment or reach out. Let us know what you think about this episode because we'd love to keep this discussion going. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. Stay safe out there and, as always, be kind. All right, everyone. See you soon.